Twitter is getting rid of bots that spread spam and propaganda. So why on earth are investors upset about it? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This week, Twitter announced it is booting about 70 million accounts from its platform in an effort to clean up its bot problem, the fact that millions of accounts on Twitter are fake. Bots have been a problem on Twitter for years. They spread propaganda, intimidate people and journalists, and even just tweet spam. A New York Times story in January suggested that up to 15% of all Twitter accounts could be bots, although Twitter said it was more like 5%. But now, as the company is trying to clean up the bot problem, some investors are worried that it might expose Twitter for having fewer users than they thought. So let's dig into this stew in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a second look at a big tech story. Kevin Roos follows social media for the New York Times. I asked him how bots became a business problem for Twitter.
This is sort of the big problem with bots, is they can be used to make a person look more popular than they are. They can also be used to make an issue look larger than it is. So we saw this in the election in 2016. We've seen this since with certain hashtags that have been artificially amplified by bot networks. Basically, it just undermines trust in the platform. And big marketing companies, big advertisers started to complain that they weren't sure whether they wanted to keep advertising on Twitter anymore because they couldn't trust the integrity of the network. And I think that was one of the things that prompted Twitter to act.
So let's dig into the math here a little bit. The number of monthly and daily active users has been a big metric for Twitter. Now it seems to be working really hard to differentiate that from users. And it feels like from a business perspective, it seems to muddy Twitter's message about how many humans are using its platform.
Yeah, so monthly active users and daily active users are kind of the core metrics for a social network. Obviously, investors were concerned, but they've also been making some attempts to clarify that not all these accounts were being included in their metrics anyway. So they had been, you know, inactive for more than 30 days, or they had removed them right when they found out, right when they signed up. And more to the point, they're making a case that this will actually make the platform more valuable because it will entice advertisers who maybe were skittish about participating before because it was sort of infested with all of these bots.
It feels like the second part of that is probably true and that ultimately this is a good thing, but it also feels like maybe Twitter has been deluding itself a little bit about its bot problem, right?
Yeah, and one sort of suspicion among some of the folks that I talk to is that this is Twitter trying to sort of get ahead of a drop in its monthly active users or daily active users in its next earnings report in a couple weeks. They can say, oh, well, that's because we've been cracking down on spam and bots and all these kinds of things that are good for the platform's overall health. My suspicion is there's a combination of factors that are maybe going to lead to some lower numbers than maybe investors were expecting.
If a bunch of follower counts go down, I mean, it doesn't, you know, on its face, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, but people really like being liked. Is it possible that it could change people's feelings about the platform to not get that feedback loop that they've gotten so used to, or to see followers go down and feel like, what's the point?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think Twitter said that most people will see a change of 4 followers or fewer, and that, you know, big accounts like President Obama, President Trump, certain celebrities, like they might see their counts go down substantially. And in fact, some already have as a result of this. But for most people on the service, this is not going to be a very big deal.
But I mean, you know, President Trump's going to freak out about that. I'm just saying, there's no way that ends
well. Well, he already sort of has. I mean, he says, he tweeted the other day that, you know, Twitter's getting rid of these fake accounts. You know, does that include the New York Times, the Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. So he obviously will not be thrilled with losing, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of followers who are bots. But, you know, he didn't buy those probably in the first place. I mean, there are lots of bots that no one asked for that are just sort of glomming onto these large accounts.
And I guess, like, more seriously, you know, a lot of the accounts that bought many of these followers are what you could term influencers. And they're building businesses on the backs of this sort of perceived influence. And so I wonder if it's a little bit like, oh, I built my app on Facebook and then they changed their algorithm. Like, could it have a negative effect if you are a a Twitter influencer?
Sure. I mean, I think that's sort of one of the reasons that advertisers or marketers have been wary of working with social media influencers, is that you just don't know how many of their followers are real. Someone could have, you know, 200,000 followers and 10,000 of them are real and the rest are fake. And so that sort of brings the whole credibility of the platform into question. But I think for most people, this is a good thing. I mean, this is Twitter finally dealing with one of the biggest problems that it's had over the years, which is that it's very hard to tell when things are happening organically and when they're the result of coordinated and automated activity.
Does it solve the human problem? You know, I mean, both Facebook and Twitter obviously are struggling with the question of, do we allow info wars on our platform on Facebook side, or do we allow Elon Musk to incite his fans to attack a journalist on the Twitter side? Like, even after they clean up the bot problem, there's still kind of the weird speech tension that happens on these platforms, right?
Yeah, I think that's a separate problem and a much thornier one for them. I mean, the bot and sort of automated spam problem is very easy for them to conceptually say, we're against this, this is bad for the platform. What becomes much more controversial, of course, is all this stuff around speech and where you draw the line and when is a conspiracy theory just a conspiracy theory and when does it approach sort of violent or hateful speech? Is it against their rules to be wrong on the internet? That's sort of the next bridge to cross, but I think that's one that's going to be a lot more challenging for them. This is mostly a technical problem. This is mostly a sort of, how do we detect and know whether bots are operating and whether these are real people or whether there's coordination between them. Like, that's a pretty simple problem, relatively speaking. The other one, the InfoWars problem, is much thornier. And I think that's going to take probably years for these companies to get a handle on.
Kevin Roos covers social media at the New York Times. Twitter stock actually dropped almost 10% on Monday when the bot purge first began. It's recovered somewhat over the week, but not completely. Stephanie Hughes is the producer of Marketplace Tech. Eve Tro is our senior producer. Sarah Bruguer is our engineer. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. If you want to get smart about 5G or the cloud or Bitcoin, you know we have you covered on Marketplace Tech and the Make Me Smart podcast. Well, now you can also get smart with us on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, make me smart, for a new daily explainer that helps you understand the world we live in now.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.